Dr. Davies, I appreciate your time with us today and taking time out of your day to speak with me. Students are back on campus. Classes are underway. What has the first week been like for you, and what is your outlook for the semester?
Well, first of all, welcome, Matt. I'm glad this is our first chance to talk, and I look forward to our monthly discussions about Murray State and all things that we're working on and moving forward on. So again, congratulations on your advancement here at WKMS. Looking forward to working with you.
Oh, thanks.
First week of class. Yeah, it's always exciting to welcome back the faculty and the staff and the various traditions we have right before the semester starts, and the various breakfasts and lunches, and then the college meetings. And, you know, that's just an exciting time. They've been here a lot over the summer doing research and summer school. Others have been on study abroad trips. Others have done research, in different areas. So, again, it's just kind of a really neat feeling. And then with the students coming back, yeah. Parking starts to become a little bit more difficult. The traffic up and down 16th and 12th Street increases, and, you know, it takes a little bit longer to get across the town. But, again, it's that excitement. And the students being on the campus just elevates everything. And to talk with the new students specifically about their expectations, their dreams, their aspirations, what they want to achieve. If you cannot be excited on a college campus, specifically at this time, I don't know what's going to get you excited. So it is just a tremendous amount of time. We've done a lot of work over the summer. We've done a lot of work over the past year to get ready for this time. And so now we start implementing and putting things into practice. A great time to be on a college campus and to see that level of excitement just increase and expand.
Have there been any particular student moments so far this semester that have really stood out to you?
Yeah, there's been some. There's been, you know, this is my third year, and to see some of the freshmen that came in when I, you know, my first year, and just to see and hear, you know, how they've grown, how they've matured, how they've really started to blossom. I think it's just pretty exciting. The moments when they come back and, you know, it's renewing that friendship and that acquaintance, I think is pretty neat. Seeing some of the new students come and seeing their interaction with their parents as they leave and those type of things has been just a lot of fun. This year we have a student that actually we knew in Oregon, when we lived in Oregon, who's joined us. And so it's really fun to see her on our campus and to see her, literally travel across the country to start her college career here, and to see her coming from a very, very small town in Oregon, and to see how well she has acclimated so quickly with her fellow students, with her faculty. We've talked to her a couple times throughout, and just, again, to have that insight with a student who, you know, given that we've known her for a while, she tells me how it is and how well we live up to our reputation and how well we live up to our standard of student service and those type of things. So it's been a lot of fun. A lot of selfies have been taken. I don't, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon in of itself. That's the new handshake for students. That's the new handshake for that generation. Last night, I had the chance to talk to Hart Hall at their first meeting and just listen to some of their questions and their discussions and what they're thinking about the college experience. I was able then to go over to Franklin and talk with some of their students there and just see them in their environment. After I leave here today, I'm heading over to have lunch with some random students at the tea room, so we'll see where it goes. You know, we talk a lot about the students, but also talking with the faculty about what we went through last year, all the successes. And we did have an amazing and very successful year, but we also hit on a very important challenge. As I mentioned in my open remarks to both the staff and to the faculty in their respective luncheons and breakfasts, we probably had the largest fiscal shift in the history of Murray State University in terms of the amount of money, the amount of funds that were either cut or had to be reallocated due to cost mandates coming to Murray State. Obviously, the reduction from the state appropriation was a factor, but it wasn't the only factor, as we discussed. We had the federal labor law change, the new overtime rules, and we're going through that right now. We had the increase in the pension costs. We've had other significant cost increases that we had to deal with and shift those funds to cover those mandatory expenditures and do it in a time frame of about 4.5 months. And for us to be able to do that with a very strong sense of commitment to our vision of being the best student-centered university in America, to reinforcing rigorous academic programs, making sure that everything that we do is relevant to the needs of our students and to our communities, and to continue our trajectory of excellence. And having that as a focus and having our community rally around that and say, this is how we're going to handle this situation, was immense. So talking to the faculty and faculty members about that and how we went through that, and also realizing that some of the decisions that we made as we implement them may or may not be produce the outcomes we have, and so we need to adjust and be flexible. And having the communication and the dialogue and the streams that will ensure that we will be able to have that. And so again, maintaining that communication, maintaining that constant sense of community, continue to focus in on what's most important for Murray State University. That's what we're about, and that's what we're doing. Those type of discussions as well. So it's been a great 2.5-3 weeks with, you know, the pre, the week before the semester starts, the move-in, the faculty, the staff, all coming back. The community has just been dynamite. I gave a talk today at the Chamber breakfast and really talking about the great things that we've done, the great things that we are doing, the great things that we will be doing, and also addressing the challenges that we face. And to be honest, and there's, again, this year, is, I mean, this, we're going to do amazing things, but we're going to face challenges. Performance funding's coming. You know, I've talked with several faculty and staff, and they had asked me, you know, we've been hearing about performance funding. Do you think that's really going to happen? Yeah, it is. This next year, July 1, at least 5% of our budget will be based on outcomes. What those outcomes are, what those measurements are, what those things are, that's something that will have to be ferreted out as time goes on. We will know a pretty good indication by December the 1st when the work group has to provide its findings and its report to the legislative committee, and then they'll take that to the General Assembly, and it will be enacted on. But we do know, in some way, shape, or form, that it's going to involve graduation. It's going to involve retention. We know it's going to involve a waiting, if you will, for certain degrees over others, and we need to be ready for that. As I look at it, it comes back to recruiting excellent students, recruiting students who are college ready, recruiting students who fit Murray State, recruiting the students who have the probability of success, a strong probability of success at Murray State, and recruiting them, retaining them, having them progress through their academic years and graduate. That's the fundamental. How these metrics are weighted and measured and everything else are going to come back to those fundamentals. And that's what we do very, very well, by focusing on student success, making sure that we maintain rigor, that we don't just all of a sudden explode and say we're going to admit every student and hope they get through. Let's be mindful of who we are able, who we admit. Let's have that ethical commitment. If we admit them, that their probability of success, probability to handle the rigors, the probability of handling the social dynamics that are going on, that we have the foundation and the pathway for them to move forward. The students have a role in this too. They've got to demand excellence of themselves. They've got to as I talked to the freshmen at their convocation and at the residential hall last night in their meetings, they have to own their education. They've got to take that commitment to excel. That commitment to do the right thing, that commitment to study, to go talk to the professors. Student-centered is part of that, too. It's not just faculty and staff doing things. It's part of the students doing things. And if we are able to do that, we will have the retention numbers. We will have the progression numbers. We'll have the graduation numbers. We're seeing that now occur now. Our retention numbers from last freshman class to this year is looking very, very positive. It's looking at the high mark that we've had over the last several years. As the campus community knows, that we've had some drops in our retention numbers and multiple reasons for that. But we've made the corrections, made the steps, implemented the processes last year, and we're starting to see that rebound. The higher academic standards for this year's freshman class has been implemented. We will have a higher freshman class than we have had in the previous years. We know from a current survey that was done of the incoming freshman class, in which Kelly Wessner and the Institutional Effectiveness did, with a very strong response rate of 60%, that the ACT and the GPA scores of the admitted students are higher. The students who are admitted in the top quarter and the top 50 percentile of their classes are up. This year, 79% of the students reported that Murray State was their first choice. The previous year, that number was 55%. So we, by having these standards increase, by being more mindful and thoughtful, we have recruited a much better qualified freshman class than we've had in previous years. They're eager to learn. I've already talked to several of them over the first week, and it's amazing the conversations that they're having. They're studying and what they're doing and how they're approaching the academics. So I do see a lot of significant gains from that. And so we need to continue to move that forward. I do have to say, even with a larger freshman class than in previous years, this next year and probably the following year, we'll still continue to see our enrollment go down a little bit. That's due to the fact that over the previous 4 or 5 years, we've had a slight decline in the freshman class and a very acceleration of graduation numbers. That's part of the recession. That's part of the funnel where we've had very large freshman classes. They've worked their way through the system. Now we're seeing some smaller freshman classes work through their system. But I'm very excited the fact that it seems like we've balanced out of our freshman class at that 1,500 mark. We're starting to see a little bit higher. And so, again, I think that we'll start to see an upward trajectory. But those smaller classes have to work their way through. Those larger classes already have. And so it's going to be, you know, as we kind of go through the next couple of years, it's going to be kind of a flat to smaller enrollments. But eventually I do see those going up because of what we're seeing with our freshman class. Retention numbers are going up, and that's another very, very important part of that as well. So a lot of positive things, a lot of exciting things. Challenges before us? Absolutely. But going through what we did last year and taking the challenge head on, not skirting it, not saying, oh, it's going to go away, and really doing so with a sense of community, a sense of purpose, a sense of focus, has enabled us and will enable us to continue to do the great things that Murray State is known for this upcoming academic year. I am excited. I am thrilled. I know that there's going to be such amazing opportunities in front of us. The performance funding, yes, we will deal with that. We will work that out. Again, it goes back to recruiting, retaining, progressing, and graduating students. To that, we need to have excellent faculty, and we do. We need to continue to work on making sure that we can recruit and retain excellent faculty. We've got some things that we're working on in that. Same thing with staff. We have a dedicated staff. And so, again, as we work through this process and we deal with the overtime law, and that's mm-hmm. that's a huge issue on multiple fronts, what we need to focus in on, every employee matters at Murray State. It doesn't matter how in the category that we pay you, you are important. And I think that our community, our sense of pride, our sense of family, we have needs to continue to carry that through. If you're paid biweekly or once a month, it doesn't matter. You're value added. You make a significant difference to Murray State. I've seen our students get excellent advice and get that feeling from every employee that they come across. BSTs, faculty, administrative assistants in departmental offices, deans, it doesn't matter. Those students look at us as representing Murray State, and that is what matters.
I just want to go back to the performance-based funding real quick. For those who don't know, the work group that you referred to is comprised of university leaders and some government officials, education officials. Is there a sense of unity or consensus among this work group in terms of the metrics and some of the metrics that you described earlier?
I wouldn't say. I mean, I think that there's a sense of unity that's going to happen. I think that there are still various thoughts and philosophies on what the final direction is going to come. For an example, some universities feel that it should be based solely on quantity numbers, the number of graduates, the number of students, the number of X, Y, and Z. Conversely, I think that there's another school of thought that says that it should be based on using the quantity numbers, but more in a quality measurement. What are your graduation rates? Basically, how effective and efficient are you? So what are your graduation rates? What are your retention rates? What are your progression rates? And as I liken it to, when you analyze a business, when you look at, you know, purchasing a stock, you don't look at the stock price and say, well, I'm just going to buy the most expensive one. You also don't look at the company and compare two retail stores based on what is their quote-unquote net profit or what is their gross sales. You look on the various rates that get to that point to see how effective and efficient. What are their return on assets? What are their return on sales? What are their turnover of inventory? What is their gross profit margin? Which again gets to a sense of efficiency and effectiveness. And that's how you are able to bring in a more of a comparison, if you will, or more of a understanding of how that university is being effective. I believe that you should take whatever model comes forward. I think will be a combination of both. It should be a combination of both. It should not be just based on complete rates, and it should not be just based on quantity. I will say, if it's the more it's based on quality, the better Murray State does. We have the highest retention rates. We are up there in the graduation rates. We do have challenges with both of those, but I think we've made the steps over the last 2 years to rectify those, and I think that we're going to be back on the upswing. But our graduation rates is going to go down for the next couple of years because of some of the things that we thought about 5 and 6 years ago in terms of, you know, larger freshman classes, the better. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why that was done. I think we've made a compelling case to the CPE that it's not about just the numbers. It's about making sure that we have the right students that are able to handle the rigorous educational format. It does not do any good to admit a bunch of students who aren't academically ready, who do not, again, as I mentioned, do not have the foundation of academic success behind them. They don't have the other social dynamics that need to be part of that. And so we need to work with our community college. We need to work with other pathways to provide them those opportunities, and we are. But again, it goes back to getting the right people, not the most people, and then being very effective and efficient in moving those forward. So I think it needs to be a combination of both. And that's what I'm very strong advocate on. Other universities believe it's more interested in just, you know, quantity. And I just wholeheartedly disagree with that. And I think we've presented a very, very strong case, and I think we'll be able to move forward on that. In all of our discussions, the comprehensive universities were in one pool and the research institutions were in another pool. At the last meeting, that was kind of put on its head and said we should be all in one big pool. Again, I disagree with that. We're very different universities. There's a reason why you don't necessarily compare a gasoline stop shop, the 7-Eleven type of deal with Neiman Marcus. There's a reason that there's a separation there. And both the segments, comprehensive and the research, are fine universities, but we have very different missions and very different resource structures and very different way of looking at things. Our cost structures are very different. To compare those two and to have this quote-unquote compete against those two for those dollars, especially if we're talking more quantity than not, I think it would do the Commonwealth a very, very strong disservice. And so, again, I think it needs to be separated out, focusing on quantity measures as well as very, very, very important, the quality measures as well.
Yeah, at the last Board of Regents meeting, you mentioned that Murray State is sort of in the middle there in terms of finding the balance between quality and quantity. So a combination of both, would that be the best outcome for Murray State?
It would be probably the best compromise, I would say. The best outcome would be all on quality. but again, I you know, philosophically speaking, I think that there is a need to understand that it cannot be all on the ratios, and that's where you need to balance it out. Again, when analyzing and looking at industries and organizations and everything else, you look at the quality measures, but you do look at the quantity measures. I would also say, too, that lessons learned from other states that have gone to performance funding, if you solely focus in on quality measures, there are things that can be done in place that would have unintended consequences, and I don't think we want, as a Commonwealth, want to go to that area either. So again, I think it needs to be quantity and quality, and I would emphasize quality a little bit over the quantity. And that, and to me, that again is not only a benefit for Murray State University, it's really, in my mind, what the Commonwealth is trying to get. When we look at the rationale behind this, we look at the facts that someone with a college degree has stronger earning powers. They are more engaged civically. They do a lot of different things to help the economy, to help the culture. They pay more taxes. They give more philanthropically, and a whole host of things. Where I think sometimes people, when they look at those sets, they think, well, God, if we just get everybody a college degree, that's going to happen. It's a correlation. It's not a causation. And so I think it's important, as we talk with legislators and others, that if all of a sudden we become diploma mills and all of a sudden we just said, boy, just crank them out, quantity, and lose sense of the quality aspects, the importance of higher education, the extra talents and skills that our students are honing here, and not just say, you know, in 4 years, you got to get out, and 120 credits, you got to get out, because then you're going to have that college degree and you can do all these great things. Let's get past, again, it's a correlation, not a causation. And the reason that people with undergraduate degrees have that higher earning power, have those extra commitment to civic engagement and everything else, is because of the robust experiences in total that they've had at the university. You can't rush certain things. You can't have someone, quote unquote, teach faster. You can't have someone, quote unquote, learn faster. Yes, technology and other aspects can enhance that effort. But like a fine wine, it needs to age. It needs to mature. And you just can't rush that process. Here in Kentucky, a fine bourbon, it has to age and it has to go through that process, and you cannot rush it. And to me, I think that's a very important component of these performance funding measures, that we just don't want to all of a sudden start pumping out people with degrees because all of a sudden that's going to do everything. It is the robust experiences. I also go back to the purpose of a university degree is not measured by our graduates' titles in business and salary and income levels. It's measured by the impact that they make on society. Yes, our graduates are going to have better jobs. Yes, they're going to have higher salaries. That is wonderful and that is important, and they're going to lead businesses, they're going to lead industries, they're going to lead nonprofit organizations, they're going to do amazing things. But if we just solely measure their worth and their impact of the university degree based on their salary and their title, we are missing a very large picture. Again, it goes back to the impact that they will make on society. How will they change and transform the communities that they serve? How will they transform the communities that they serve for the better? How will they reach out and help other individuals who need assistance, need that help, need that leg up? Will they invest in those organizations that transform communities? And to me, that impact of society is the much more important factor of a higher education degree than what salary you make.
I know in my next question for you that performance-based funding is obviously a large part of state appropriation, the conversation, the ongoing challenge. In the last Board of Regents meeting, there were a lot of academic and administrative changes introduced. In terms of mitigating this sort of disinvestment in higher ed funding, what I think a lot of people are wondering, what's next?
Well, you know, the things that we're looking at is, you know, is how it's going to be a fluid environment. One of the things that, you know, everyone jokingly talks about is we were state supported, then we became state assisted, and pretty soon we'll be state located. We need to continue to find ways that we can support our own. We need to continue to find ways, and I'm not just talking about tuition dollars. We cannot put this all on the backs of the students. We need to be very mindful of that, and I'm very cognizant of that. But are there ways in which we can be entrepreneurial and generate other resources? We need to increase our philanthropic activities. We finished a capital campaign a while back and it was wildly successful, and we literally see some of the vestiges of that. We need to be embarking, and we are embarking on another capital campaign. And when I say capital campaign, I'm usually people go to buildings. I'm looking more at scholarships. I'm looking more at student support dollars. I'm looking more at funds that will enhance the learning environment, that will be used by faculty in very creative ways to recruit and retain, to provide them the tools within the classroom, within their disciplines. We need to commit to experiential learning in a very different way and make it part of the university fabric. We have a lot of colleges are doing amazing things on that line. We have a lot of units doing amazing things. I'm looking to see how we make experiential learning, hands-on learning, a university-wide commitment, a shared commitment, and so that the efforts that are going on in the JMC and the accounting area, industrial engineering area, the OSHA area, specifically with internships, which is powerful. How do we make that in other colleges and departments are doing that too? Those are, you know, four highlighted ones. Share that so that it's widespread. How do we increase those opportunities? And again, not put this, you know, solely on the backs of a department, but make it a university-wide commitment. So I'm working with the interim provost Duncan to really further that agenda, and many others, again, to make it a university-wide. So student affairs is involved. The finance area is involved. It's not going to be inexpensive, but it's part of our investment. We need to be making those charges. Development and institutional advancement is going to be involved in it. Alumni could be a powerful force in this in helping us with that. Philanthropic activities for funding these initiatives. And so really making that something that's really special and unique to Murray State. A lot of privates do this. A lot of small universities do this. How can a mid-sized university that is committed to student success, committed to student engagement, committed to student centeredness, do that same type of thing in a robust way? So I'm really looking forward to how we do some of those type of things. We did make some significant adjustments, there's no question. And those were difficult decisions. And that's not to say that we won't have decisions like that in the future. I don't think they're going to be as dramatic. I don't think they're going to be as robust or anything along those lines. But we need to continually be focusing in on how do we use the fiduciary responsibility of the funds that are allocated to us for the best return. How do we use our human capabilities and our skill sets for the best return? How do we create synergies between and among the colleges and departments, as I just mentioned, for example, on experiential learning, to really have an amazing impact? And to me, that's what we need to be thinking about. And that's what we are thinking about. And that's what we're discussing and moving forward on.
A lot of the projects that have been underway, the construction projects on campus, the Franklin Residential College is now complete. And I think anyone driving past campus or walking through the middle of campus will notice these projects underway. Is there an update on the engineering and physics building?
Sure.
And the Breath of Veterinary
Center? Yeah, first on Franklin, that is complete. Students are moved in. They're still doing some final touches, don't get me wrong. They're still finishing those type of up. We're having a ribbon cutting on September the 8th. So I'm very excited about that, and it's a great addition. We've got the engineering and physics building. It's moving along in fine fashion. It's a little bit behind its schedule. They've had some issues with some of the roof design and contractors and architects going at it and working hard to fix those, and they've done that, so they're getting back on track and moving forward. We're looking at a ribbon cutting of that in the spring semester, in the March-April timeframe. The team, the engineering physics people, will be moving over there throughout that semester, and it'll be really come alive in the following fall year. The BVC in Hopkinsville is an impressive building. It is very impressive. And that's going on very, very, very well, too. When I look at capital, you know, we're talking about the capital expenditures for the university. Over the next 4 or 5 years, we're not going to see a lot of new buildings. We need to really invest in our own infrastructure. We have some deferred maintenance issues that we need to take a real hard look at. Blackburn, as that building will be transformed in of itself through remodeling because of engineering physics coming online, we started a task force to look at what would be appropriate to be in that building, what would stay, what would go, what can be moved into it, what remodeling needs to occur. So that's going to be part of that discussion. The other thing is, and this is not sexy, glorious, and everything, it's very mundane. We got to worry about our electrical infrastructure, and we've done an amazing job having an infrastructure that is pretty old, and as we've added on a lot of these buildings, we really haven't spent time on that, so that's a very important one. I liken it to the fact that Christmas time, when you put the Christmas tree lights, you always get this one electrical cord, and you put all these sockets in it, and all of a sudden one string goes out in the middle, and you're like, well, what happened? And you unplug one little thing, and it comes back on, and, you know, to a certain degree, that's the analogy we have for Murray State. And so we really, over the next year or so, that's going to be a focus. Again, it's not exciting. It's wires. It's electrical. We kind of need it. And so to me, that's a very important project that will be the focus of our attention on, quote-unquote, the capital improvement side. I feel I'm a fairly accomplished fundraiser, but I've never been able to raise a lot of money for electrical wires. We'll see how that goes.
Hey,
but
it's important to keep the lights on.
It's very important to keep the lights on. And we've seen some of the strains over this past summer with that, where the campus has gone out, electricity has gone out, when the surrounding area has been up. And so, you know, again, our facilities team has done an amazing job. Marty, our chief electrician over there, has done an amazing job of working with what he has. That's going to be a very high priority for us as we look forward.
One of the big leadership changes recently was Governor Bevin's appointments to numerous boards of state universities, including two new regents at Murray State, Walter Bumpus and Lisa Rudolph. Have you had a chance to speak with them since
absolutely.
Their appointment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think both individuals are very committed to Murray State, very committed to our success. Dr. Bumpus brings a host of knowledge and background. He's a former community college president of very large community colleges. So having a former sitting president on the board, I actually enjoy. I think that a president who's gone through that ranks and dealt with boards and everything else brings a very, very good perspective. And in his current role as the president of the largest National Association for Community Colleges, will bring again expert advice and wisdom as we move forward, not only in the higher education landscape, but also just working with community colleges, which will continue to be a very, very important role. National figure. I mean, he is one that brings a lot of cachet to our board. He's, you know, frequently invited to the White House for higher education matters and everything else along those lines. So again, a very, very strong advocate. Ms. Rudolph, again, is from the area. Both of them are graduates. Ms. Rudolph is one of our nursing graduates, very committed to community outreach and working with the community, specifically the furthest western communities, the Four River counties. Just a strong, amazing advocate and a deep understanding of economic development through her business acumen. Very committed to dual credit and having the bridge between high school The university, a very seamless process, very involved with the Rudolph Foundation that has sponsored the Thoroughbred Academy in the Four Rivers County. And again, a strong, strong advocate and understanding of the value of higher education and understanding that it is about economic development. It's also about, again, how do individuals impact society? It's not, again, about the paycheck, not, again, just the total thing about the job. It's about how do you impact society? And she sees, and we had a wonderful discussion, that the way to do that is to have a robust higher education facility system that will support the community and support the region, and she brings that passion. So I'm very excited about those two new regions. At the board meeting coming up in early September, we'll have four swear-ins. Kathy Farmer from the libraries is the new faculty regent, and Clint Combs was reelected as a student, so they get to take the oath about swearing that they've never participated in the duel, so I'm looking forward to that. Again, all four new regions, the three new ones specifically, are going to be dynamite. Very excited about having Dr. Bumpus named and Ms. Rudolph named. Very, very staunch supporters of Murray State.
Some other leadership changes. The search for the provost is underway.
It is underway. Right. Dr. Cobb, Steve Cobb, Dean of the Jones Science and Technology College, is leading that search. The search committee has met. They started towards the end of last semester, and that was purpose to get things rolling. The job was announced, posted, and all that kind of thing over the summer. Nearly 80 applicants or thereabouts. One of the things that I'm anxious, obviously, to see the work progress, but I stay out of it. That's my job. The search committee, I've empowered them. I've gave them the direction of kind of the skills and talents and the ideas I have for the provost, someone who is an academic leader who is going to come in and really take that position and be a strong advocate for the academics, but also for the entire university to ensure that we have all of our divisions, academics and finance and student affairs and advancement, working together and seamlessly and have a real esprit de corps and a teamwork with the vice presidential units to work with the deans to guide the colleges and to work with the college in being relevant and analyzing our programs and really saying what are the things that we need to focus in on and making prioritizations and understanding the new dynamics of performance funding and resources and being a very aggressive entrepreneurial spirit within those, demanding excellence in the manners that we move forward. There will be tough decisions over the next 5 years. We cannot escape that. And so someone who is able to be very strategic and mindful and to have that commitment to rigor and understand that we are here to serve the students and the community. And in doing so, it's not necessarily about being the biggest university and having the biggest student body. It's about having the right and the best and having that combination move forward. I know that the committee is in the process of kind of narrowing it down and whittling it out. I look forward to getting to the point where the finalists are announced, probably in the October-November timeframe, where we'll get them on campus. And then I look forward, what they will do is they'll provide me comments on those candidates that they've brought to campus, that we've all interviewed and docked and through all the things, that they will provide me a list of strengths and weaknesses on each, and then I'll make a decision. Their job is to get us to that point, and I'm letting them do it. So we'll see where it goes. The other search is the Dean for Humanities and Fine Arts. Stacy Stone is chairing that particular search, and I know that they're in the process of meeting as well. They purposely have delayed or structured their time frame to be about a month and a half after the provost search. That way that we'll have the provost selected. He or she may not be in the seat at the time, but they will definitely have an opportunity to be part of that interview process for that particular dean. Those are working real close hand in hand. Again, I think that we will have a strong pool. I'm very excited about the I've heard, again, I don't know who's in it, don't know anything along those lines, but I've heard it's broad and deep for the provost search, and I expect it's going to be broad and deep for the dean search as well.
These are all of my questions. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I think we are going to have a wonderful academic year. I think we are on our upward trajectory. I look forward to working with the campus in seizing the opportunities that are before us and hitting the challenges that will confront us. And we will hit those challenges head on as well as we have in the past. my belief is that it's all about transparency and communication. I look forward to all the opportunities that we have to discuss the issues and the opportunities that are before Murray State, be it at a coffee with Bob or be it as I walk around campus and poke my head into a faculty member's office or just walk on campus, come up and say, hi, have you thought about this? So I'm looking forward to all of those interactions.
Murray State President Dr. Bob Davies, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Matt, and as always, go Racers.